You know, Femi, there are some statements in the press that get a lot of attention. They last even longer than 24 hours.
Elvis lives, the moon landings didn't really happen, and that new classic, fake news. But I have a feeling you're going to take us in a different direction.
I'm going to take you to Washington. And okay. Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, who was talking about the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy that separated families crossing the border illegally into the U.S. That's the one that the president just undid with his executive order. But last week, Sessions defended it by citing the Bible.
And I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
Now, hundreds of Sessions' fellow church members rebuked that policy and his statement, but he's not the only one in U.S. history to use biblical arguments for government policies. And for a look at that, we are joined by Ed Ayers and Joanne Freeman, historians and co-hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Thanks very much.
So, Joanne, let me start with you. This is not new, is it?
No, it is definitely not new. I mean, if you think about it, there's almost no more effective way to come up with a political or moral shorthand than to cite a biblical verse. You have to assume there's a certain amount of biblical literacy in the United States. And so the message comes across, as it did here, pretty clearly.
What about, Joanne, this idea of the separation of church and state?
This is a very good question. One might say.
And he's chuckling.
Yes, one might say. What about that separation of church and state? And indeed, the founders did want those two institutions of sorts to be separated. I mean, Thomas Jefferson said really famously in 1802 that he wanted a wall of separation between church and state. The idea being in part that you could not have these two powerful institutions, the institution of government and the institution of religion, joining up to be repressive in any way. Now, that said, it's one thing to say that. It's quite another thing for politicians to be using biblical rhetoric.
But they do just that. And in fact, the biblical rhetoric that Jeff Sessions used, Romans 13, to obey the laws of the government, Ed, that's been used before.
Yeah, it was apparently the most frequently quoted line from the Bible in the era of the Revolution, Joanne's specialty. I was surprised to learn that as I was thinking about all this. What were they doing quoting the Bible while America's launching a revolution, Joanne?
Well, indeed, that was in the pamphlets that came out in the Revolutionary era. Hmm. That was the number one most quoted verse. And it was handy for both sides. I mean, I think it was the Loyalists who first came out, and that's kind of logical, to say, you know, basically, you should be obeying your rulers, you should be respecting your rulers, you should be following the law, that it would be actually a king would be neglecting his duty if he didn't uphold law and order. So it was even King George's duty to do something to calm down affairs in the colonies. So the Patriots came back to that by saying, well, yeah, except the Bible is full of examples of kings who were tyrannical and people rising up against them. Right. Oh, those pesky examples of other kinds of kings. And as a matter of fact, they even said it's blasphemous to call a tyrant or an oppressor God's minister, which is what that verse suggests. So the Patriots came right on back, spun that verse in a different kind of a way, and sort of mixed in a little bit of John Locke by saying that people have a right and they need to overthrow tyrannical governments.
So, Ed, there's so many ways that you can actually quote Bible verses. One verse and a counterverse. Some of the critics of the administration from using the Bible have said that the Bible was often used as a way to support slavery. What was being said back in the day?
Well, that would have been, I believe, the most common way for people who held other people in perpetual bondage to live with themselves, because they would say, nowhere in the Bible does it say explicitly that slavery is wrong. Matter of fact, the Bible is filled with examples of slaveholders, and it's filled with exhortations to the enslaved to obey your masters. And so Romans 13 was, you know, a part of the panoply of scripture that the slaveholders would use to say we are entirely justified in holding slaves. But just as Joanne was telling us about the revolution, the people on the other side of slavery, the abolitionists, said this would seem to be a clear violation of the principle of loving others as you love yourself.
Mm. You know, people were appalled when they found out that Romans 13 was used to defend slavery, and then Jeff Sessions used it. It's unclear whether he knew that history or not, but it probably won't be the last time that somebody uses Romans 13 to defend something.
Well, you know, it's been a long time since people have. After that quote, people, you know, went to Google to search for all the times that it was invoked. And it shows that it peaked in the 1850s and has been sort of in steady decline since. I think one reason this was so newsworthy is to have a person in authority invoking that seemed really kind of un-American because it had certainly cut against the trends of recent decades.
What about a little closer to the present, back in the civil rights movement? People did use Bible passages to get their point across.
Well, that's for sure. And, of course, the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King, of course, used the Bible to remarkable effect. But the people who believed that segregation was the law of the land and deserved obeisance, they said that this is, it's your Christian duty, it's the duty of all of us who live in the segregated world, to follow the rule of the law, not to question it. And King has a powerful quote. He says, you know, what the Bible says is that our loyalty is to God, not to the state. So it's many ways the same kind of dynamic we're seeing in the Jeff Sessions moment being played out in the 1950s and 60s, people laying moral claim to the scripture.
Ed Ayers and Joanne Freeman are historians and co-hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.